As I've said already, we are just embarking on a month of prayer together, prayer and fasting for our city. And I think we're doing this at a really, really crucial time in our life together as we emerge from what is, I'm sure you all agree, has been a very challenging and at times difficult period in our life together as a church. And I know we're not alone in that. My colleagues in the city, other people that you know I know, have found this time incredibly challenging. But we're starting to emerge from it. And we thought it'd be good to have a time of prayer and fasting as we emerge, as we try and work out what God is saying in the midst of this tricky, difficult, but I think crucial moment in our life together as a church. Now, we are going to be reading through Nehemiah, as I've said, and we meet Nehemiah at a really critical moment in Israel's history. They'd been in Babylon, in exile in Babylon for many, many years. They'd been removed from their sort of homeland, if you like, because we're told they were disobedient and they were rebellious against God. But what happened was that the Babylonians were a superpower of the day. They were taken over by the Persians, another superpower of that day. And what happened then is that after, I think, about 70 years, I think I'm right, the Israelites said, you can go home. And you read in Ezra, two groups went back and they built the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? The temple was the place that was key and crucial to their worship and their prayer and their connection with God. So that's the first thing they did. So they built the temple, center for their worship, for their prayer, for their connection with God. But then they sort of faltered in the building project. They were under attack. They were overwhelmed. The work faltered. They stumbled. They became discouraged and downhearted. And this is when kind of we meet Nehemiah. Because word gets to Nehemiah. And this is what it says. Those who survived the exile are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. And its gates have been burned with fire. This was a critical moment. It could go either way. There was vulnerability. The people were tired, under attack, discouraged. They could easily have given up the task ahead of them. They could have just focused on themselves or even gone back to what they knew. But then there was also opportunity. Think about what could be. Look at what could be. The city restored, the temple functioning again, and worship and prayer happening in the midst of that community. This was a critical moment, and it's when we meet Nehemiah. Word comes to him, and he's in exile. He'd yet to make the journey back, and then he hears what's happening, and his heart was completely broken. We had that launch meeting on Wednesday evening. I thought it was a good night of prayer together, and I talked about this. As I launched, I said, when the word came to Nehemiah, he took it really personally. It said he wept for days. When do we weep over the city? When do we weep over the city? When do we feel it so deeply that we weep over the city? He took it prayerfully. It says he prayed and he fasted. And then you've got this beautiful prayer in chapter 2. Can I commend it to you? Can you encourage you to meditate on it? Because I think there's a real pattern in there for how we can pray for our city. But then he took it really practically. He became part of the answer. He took it really practically. He became part of the answer. He went to the king and said, I want to go back. And that was a big thing to do. And he didn't just ask him if he could go back. He said, can you help me? Can you give me what I need? Actually, I read it this morning again, and he actually sent soldiers with him to help him, to protect him as he went. Now, like Nehemiah, this feels like a really crucial time in our life together as a church. I really believe that. We have been through so much. We have had to change so much. And one of the things that's really impressed me about the church at this time is the way we've changed, and we've changed really quickly. And let's be honest, the church, as in the church, has not always been well known for its ability to change. But boy, have we had to change. And we've got an opportunity to say, okay, where are you leading us, Lord? What are the things that need to die to go? And what are the things that we need to embrace or take forward? This is a critical, crucial time. And that's why we're having this month of prayer. So that's my introduction. I've got something really different now for you to sort of listen to as we go into the next section of our talk together. I want you to just reflect on the words of the song that you're about to hear, okay? Just let them rest upon you and just think about them. I think that's quite enough of that, to be honest with you. We built this city on sausage rolls. I guess you could build a city of sausage rolls. I have some here. We could build a city of sausage rolls, but I tell you what, it would be quite a difficult city. So we could try and build from sausage rolls, but I don't think it's going to work to build a city of sausage rolls. Well, maybe it doesn't really mean that. But what about if Truro became sausage roll central of the whole world and all anyone ever ate was sausage rolls? I asked John earlier, what would happen if people only ever ate sausage rolls? Now, John and Sally run something called Be Healthy Church, and I won't go into it now. But John, what would happen if all we ever ate was sausage rolls? We would become incredibly, incredibly sick. It would not be good. This is my silly introduction to the next section. Nehemiah returned to build the city. Not of sausage rolls, obviously, but he returned to build a city physically, walls. But he also returned to build godly culture. We would call it kingdom culture. He returned to see worship and praise and intercession established at the heart of a place. And he returned to build godly community. That's what he was going to build and wanted to build. It was a community with God at the center and his rule and reign over and within. It was to be rooted in prayer and worship and connection with God. That's why they built the temple. He wanted to establish walls, protection, and see people living in that community and putting that godly government and oversight in place. There's two things I want to mention, and I really feel the Lord has put this on my heart. There's so much that we could say about this. But there's two things I want to mention as I sort of go through this second section. The first is this. There were no people in the city. Apparently, I heard this week, I was listening to something. They said there were no people living in the city. There was no protection. So there was no people living in the city. Now, I don't think a city is a city if there's without people living in it. You see it in China, don't you? There's a city there, isn't it? They built it and no one lives in it. I don't know why, but it's not a city. It's just a whole collection of random buildings. The second thing is, so remember that. The second thing is this. We read in I think chapter 4, how when they started to build, he used materials that were already there. He used broken stones from the ruins of the old city to build the new one. He used the broken stones, the buried stones, the dirty stones, the misshapen stones to build the new city. This is what it said. This was our reading today, actually. Can they bring these stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are? I want to read this to help us understand what I believe God is really saying here. 1 Peter 2. I think this tells us, you know, how this picture or this pattern that we see in Nehemiah and what he's doing there is how we see God building today. What we see in Nehemiah is a picture, I think, of how God builds today. And I'm going to read this passage from 1 Peter that just shows us a little bit about how that happens. As you come to him, 1 Peter 2, 4 and 6, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God as and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It says, as you come to him, the living stone. That's the starting point. We come to him, the living stone. But the people back then, they had to establish a way of coming to God. They built the temple, didn't they? They built the temple so that they could come to God. For us, we come to God through Christ. This is where it has to start for us. He is the foundation on which we build. He is the capstone, the cornerstone on which we build. The foundations dictate the size and the stability of the house, do they not? Get the foundations wrong and the house is shaky. He is our foundation. That's why we've got these principles that we're seeking to live by, minister by. You know, arise, ambitious for the kingdom, restored identity, inside out living, servants of all, and be empowered by the Spirit. We believe this just reflects the ministry of Jesus. And if we build our lives upon these things, if they become part of who we are, what will we do? We will reflect the ministry of Jesus. We'll be building on his foundation. Has to start with him. I feel it right that we say this. Have you put your trust in him? Have you put your trust in him? Have you said to him, yes, you are my Lord and my Savior? Have you turned from the things that you know to be wrong in your life? And have you said, I need you in my life. Thank you for living for me. Thank you for dying. Thank you for rising from the dead. Come and live within my heart by your Holy Spirit. You need to do that so you can start building on the foundation that is him. It's where it's got to start. But then look at what Nehemiah does and what I think this passage shows us. Nehemiah takes the battered, broken, scorched rocks, the ruins. He cleans them up, he shapes them, and then they're ready to be used for building the city again. Listen to what 1 Peter says. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. I wanted to do a memory verse today because I want that to get into your hearts. And we haven't got time, but I want to encourage you, go away and memorize that verse. We are living stones. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. We are the stones with which God is building. He takes us where we were, where we are. Battered, broken, grubby, hidden, dirty. We come to Christ. He makes his home within us. Look, we live from that place, inside out living. We live from the place that he lives within us. And what happens? He shapes us, he changes us, he cleanses us. He restores us, he heals us, he helps us. When we start to live from that place, we become the living stones with which he is building. We're cleaned up. We're reshaped. Our potential is discovered or rediscovered. We're called living stones and God starts to build with us. He takes the hidden, the broken, the misshapen and the muddy, the unlikely things, and he uses them with him to build his kingdom here. We're living stones. I've got my appraisal this week, and a friend of mine is doing it for me, and he's great, this guy, the minister friend from another part of the county, and he sent me the paperwork through that he wanted me to fill in, and he said, what do you enjoy most about your ministry? What do you love most about your ministry? I was thinking about it, what do I love most about my ministry? And do you know what I love most? Is when God takes the battered, the broken, the misshapen, dirty, the scorched, the hidden, and he starts to use them to build his kingdom here. I'm so glad you're here, John, because, you know, you're part of my journey to this place. Well, you saw something in me that I didn't quite see at the time, but you saw something in me and you helped to release that potential. And it's one of the privileges of ministry to be able to do that. I'm so glad you're here this morning. But that's what I love. That's what I love. And I see it I see it all the time, but I want to see it more. God taking the broken and repurposing and healing up and restoring and helping so we can be the living stones with which he is building. And I want to say this to finish. Our community needs us to do this. The community needs us to take hold of this message that we are these misshapen stones that God is preparing and using to build his kingdom, his release, his purposes here. The community needs us to do this. So we've all got something to do. And no one is written off. That's what I really want us to leave with us this morning. No one is written off here. Doesn't matter how misshapen, how hidden, how sullied or dirty or broken we are, when none of us is written off. God, by his Spirit, when he makes his home within us and we live from that place, he uses us. Different things for different people. Wherever he has placed you, wherever, he has a plan and a purpose for you to bring about his kingdom influence, his kingdom rule, his kingdom reign.